Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Normally we start this podcast having a little giggle, but you'll see that I'm actually on my own today as Zoe is having a very much needed rest in Sicily this weekend. This is a podcast Zoe and I actually recorded a few days ago, so you will hear Zoe in this chat. It's just me for the intro. We've wanted to have another chat about postnatal fitness. There are some others in the archive, so if this is something that really interests you, then do go back and have a listen to some of the others as well. Zoe and I actually met and bonded in the gym. So we used to spend every single day, pretty much. We'd put Axel and Luna in the creche, we'd go up to the gym, have a chat, and then coming back downstairs, having a coffee. And you know what? I think it really helped both of us feel like ourselves again after having a baby. So we always want to have these chats, and particularly with experts, because we felt like after we had Axel and Luna, we didn't really know what we were doing. We probably did ourselves quite a lot of damage by not knowing the right things to do. So today we are going to be joined by Vern Hill, who is the founder and, as he calls himself, Chief CariFitter. So he founded CariFit, which is a baby wearing exercise class. There are face-to-face classes, but there's also an online hub where you can join live classes, you get access to loads of different resources. So let's just get into it.
Let's welcome Vern to the podcast.
Yay!
Thanks very much.
Well, I just asked you, Vern, if you were at a school, but you've told us that you're in your shed.
I am, yeah. This is the, it's known as the CariFit cabin, actually, because in lockdown, this was where we streamed all of our classes from.
Okay.
So it was me wearing a fake baby, streaming to members in 20 countries, and everyone locked in at home, getting CariFit together. So it was,
wow.
Yeah, prior to that, it was Christmas decoration shed. So it had a bit of a rushed refurb for lockdown, yes, as I'm sure lots of people
there
did.
We go.
Love that.
Just before we get into the questions, because we've had loads, do you want to just tell us a little bit about what CariFit is and why you started it?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So CariFit is effectively a baby wearing workout, a workout system that you do entirely wearing your baby. So we remove the need for childcare. But actually, there's a whole lot of research and study, and we've had some independent evaluations, and there's lots of really robust kind of science now that supports CariFit and our kind of methodology that we've created. So it helps facilitate a speedy return to full fitness. It positively impacts postnatal depression scores. It really reinforces,
wow,
parent and infant bonding scores, which is a great indicator of raising happy, well-adjusted children. So it's kind of become this whole sort of well-being community. And now we work kind of cross-medically. So particularly with our online membership, you get medical content in there, physio content, nutritional support, and then all of our various workout programs. And then, of course, we teach live classes as well, which is probably kind of what most people have seen if they've been on our Instagram or our TikTok, is kind of roomfuls of mums all wearing various age babies, all moving in sync and all kind of looking like ninja level CariFitters.
Ninja CariFitters.
Yeah, which kind of looks really cool. But actually, again, there's some really good research around how much more you reinforce that sense of community and belonging and support when you move in sync versus moving independently. So again, that's something we've really kind of honed in on. Right. And my background is kind of 20 years as a PT. After a sports science degree, I set up my own gym in South London, where very much the focus was on being able to bring your baby. And that was kind of, 13 years ago. But unusually, rather than having the babies kind of crawling around, when I was working one-to-one with clients that were newly postnatal, I would wear their baby for them in a carrier.
Oh, I like the thought of that, Vern. I like that. Nice and cozy.
It was a good look. It wasn't always, I got the nickname the baby man, which wasn't a brilliant help in my mid and late 20s in South London, if I'm honest, but it was quite useful professionally.
You've gone from like the sexy trainer to like
the baby man.
Yeah.
I was going for a different approach even from them. I always had somebody's baby strapped to me, but what it meant was mum's session was way less interrupted. They weren't trying to retrieve their baby from pulling a kettlebell on them. They generally slept, they were on me.
Yep.
So mum's session was less interrupted. It was a lower stress environment because they were happy that the baby was content. So the kind of magnified effects of all that led me down this rabbit hole of thinking, well, if I'm demonstrating all these exercises wearing your baby, what's to stop us formatting something where we can have loads of you wearing your babies and we can kind of really do it? So we tested it initially with some NCT groups that we invited for free, and it was kind of bear very little resemblance to what it looks like now. And then we launched it in Parsons Green in a place called Slice, which lots of mums, if they're in London, will have been familiar with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally nobody came. I was just some lunatic in a room for 3 months and couldn't get anybody to come for love nor money. They thought
just
it was
the baby man there, just on his own.
Yeah, just the weird baby man roaming the halls on his own.
Vern, let's get into these questions because we haven't got long with you today, so we want to bash through
away.
Them. Let's start with this one. Are carry-fit workouts safe with large diastasis recti? Mine is 3.5 centimetres, still with 10-month-old baby.
God, that's a great question. I would imagine there was loads of questions about diastasis gaps, tummy gaps, ab separation. The answer to that is that you can't give an answer to that because I have no idea what that person's other symptoms are like, what their activation is like. So actually the size of your diastasis gap will never and should never dictate what is appropriate exercise-wise taken on its own. That person might have a 3.5-finger gap, but they might have amazing control, activation. They might be completely in sync with their breathing, and therefore all kinds of workouts might be appropriate, not just carry fit. Now, going in its favour immediately is that carry fit is low impact. There's a big focus on your glutes, your core, your pelvic floor, your posture. So in terms of ticking all of those boxes, yes, but always with generalist questions around diastasis, it actually comes down, and it's a big part of what we've done with our free programme that sits in the Royal College of GPs. It's trying to get people to understand where their own gap is in terms of activation, control, and therefore the impact that has on their exercise choices.
Right, okay.
So it's a really hard one to do. The best thing anybody can do when it comes to a diastasis gap is understand not just the size and so the width and the depth, but also how to create appropriate tension through their core. Are they experiencing any other symptoms that might be related, lower back pain, stress-based incontinence when they cough or jump or run? So it's really trying to build out this whole picture and move people away from this kind of quite sort of social media clickbaity, trendy narrative around just obsessing about the size of the gap. Because it's not enough to know, taken as a single thing.
Right.
Also, well, the way I said it is not it's not the right way, is it?
I thought you said diastasis recti, but you've just said it in a different way, and now my mind is blown.
People say it in all different ways. Tummy,
we
tummy
know
gaps.
What we mean,
tummy
right?
Gaps. Tummy okay, gaps.
Fine. Let's go for that. Becca's just said, brilliant. Vern doesn't get the airtime he deserves. His program is fab. Top
Thanks,
notch.
Becca.
This is from Ellis, how do you regain your lower abdominal muscles after a C-section?
I mean, that is, again, that's a brilliant question. The most important thing is to remember they haven't actually gone anywhere, so you don't need to regain them. You've not had them removed. You've not got to go and retrieve them. Again, you've got to reactivate them. You've got to wake them up. So they've got to be part of that whole process of restoring full strength and function. Now, in terms specifically of lower abdominals, and if they're talking about outer abdominals, so this might be somebody slightly more talking about kind of what I would term as finishing off. So you're getting into the kind of aesthetic conversations past the point of function. Then there's a conversation around tissue health following a C-section. So scar massage, making sure that skin and that whole area is in good condition, and therefore you can, again, access it from a kind of biofeedback, a muscular point of view. And what I mean by that is when you're trying to get back to the point in your programming, which is normally later postnatal, when you're looking at your outer abs and you're really trying to isolate them, can you effectively isolate them? Or are lots of other muscles still getting involved to produce movements? So really, again, it's kind of about understanding where you are, making sure that area has been properly cared for. And again, in our free membership, there's a whole thing with Lucy Allen, our physio, about scar massage and how to look after that area. And that's something you can do far sooner than your 6-week check, for instance.
Right,
you can
start that's
working
interesting.
On that tissue health and looking after it. So it's really, again, understanding where you're at and then really trying to target any part of the body that you're trying to improve with appropriate exercise that you've got appropriate control of.
Right. Okay.
Well, I want to talk about the 6-week check, actually, because I think that's something that needs a rocket up its arse. So we'll come back to that. The best way to build up core strength again, it feels like it was never there. I guess we sort of touched on it there slightly, but yeah, what do you think exercise wise?
Well, I think the important thing for that is for everybody to understand that their own timeline through a fairly set sequence of exercises is different. So when you are very newly postnatal and returning to exercise, everybody should follow a largely similar sort of training protocol in terms of pelvic floor activation, breath work. Then you move on to more multi-unit, so whole body movements where you're still trying to maintain activation. So actually the exercise process doesn't change really, or shouldn't. Postnatal training is a fairly standard thing. What will change drastically is how quickly people move through it. And when you know when to move on to the next exercise, so in terms of how you should program your exercises, well, as soon as you've got decent control of one exercise, let's, for instance, look at a really simple kind of knee drop, dead popular. Everyone's laid on their back postnatally, done a heel drop, tried to get their breathing working, their core and their pelvic floor working. When you've got good control, you can extend that leg. You can load the body more. So instead of going with a bent leg, you go with a straight leg. And that's how you keep your body progressing always. Don't be afraid to move on to the next challenge. You don't need total mastery of a movement. You need good control and good activation, and then you can stress it and load it some more. And actually, all of the research around progressive overload being a really good part of postnatal training, particularly when it comes to your core, is growing so fast, and it's so exciting because it opens up more training modalities and more interesting training back to new mums.
Right. And I guess that, like with this lady, she's saying that she feels maybe she didn't used to exercise, or she feels like she's never had a particularly strong core. It's never too late, is it? It's not too late just to start exercising straight after you've had a baby if you didn't have a huge level of fitness before. You can start that whenever you want, can't you really?
You really can. And in that regard, you know, the body is an incredible thing. Muscles respond to stimulus. Doesn't matter when you start adding that stimulus in. If you've waited 5 years, 10 years, it doesn't matter. Start to stimulate the muscles, start to throw some different challenges at the body, and it's amazingly clever and robust, and it will respond. What you just need to do always before you start is figure out where you're starting from, and then program from there. And that's how you keep everything safe and appropriate. And more importantly, that's how you make everything immediately personal for everybody, so they can apply a set of rules to their own journey. And that's when I talk about how quickly you move through process and progressions. That's what makes things personal. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to know 50 crazy exercises. We all need to know about 20 exercises is the truth of it. If you can squat, lunge, push and pull, you can do most things in life that you need to do.
Yeah.
How quickly you build up is the personal bit.
The issue with that, George, and I think you'll probably agree, Georgia, is that when we went for our 6-week check, it's, you know, you're lying there. The doctor looks at you and says, "Oh yeah, yeah, no, fine, crack on." And I'm like, "Oh, can I exercise? Yeah, crack on." At that point, there was never, and me, I'm somebody that's trained my entire life. There was never anything that was handed to me. There wasn't any conversations that were had to me. This is my massive gripe. I reckon I did more damage to my body in the 6 months after I'd had the baby than I ever did before, in terms of, you know, the tummy gap, the pelvic floor, you know, my whole body was out of alignment. I mean, there was never a conversation. I don't know if it's changed now in the last 4 years, but that's bullshit.
Not even a slight warning.
Not even a slight warning.
It was like it was literally just like, how do you feel? I don't think that I don't think my tummy was checked or looked at.
No.
I can't remember it being. I think they just said, "How do you feel?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm fine." Do you feel all right? You know, everything all right? You know, in your tummy, and do you feel strong? And I'm like, well, I don't know. I think so. Yeah. Okay, cool. Off you go. And you know, some people could have taken that as, oh, okay, cool. Well, I used to run the marathon before I fell pregnant, so yeah. I'll just off I'll go then this afternoon. I'll get my running trainers on and off I go. And it that isn't the way to do it. I guess you have to build it up. I don't think I really built it up.
No, we didn't build it up.
I think I literally just went straight back into the gym and did what I'd always, my little routine that I'd always done before.
And I think I think you both like struck on absolute kind of, yeah, podcast gold with those, because here's the kind of disconnect, right? So when you go to the NHS guidelines about the 6-week check, there is no requirement for your doctor to give you any kind of physical exam with regards to your tummy, your core, or your pelvic floor. There isn't one. Now, whether we think that's right or wrong, and if you look at other countries in Europe, like France, for example, where you get physio and you get much more extended, you know, some would say better postnatal sort of care pathways. I think the biggest disconnect is that everybody's assigned this kind of really mythical importance and significance to having had a 6-week check, meaning you are cleared to exercise.
Yes.
And that is because it's an insurance requirement for the exercise industry. We need you to tick that box so our insurance becomes valid. So whether you're going to come to CarryFit and do something that is purely designed for new mums, or whether you're going to go to Barry's or One Rebel and sprint on a treadmill in a nightclub, the insurance requirement is the same.
Right.
And obviously those are two polar opposites in terms of appropriateness for somebody newly postnatal. So actually kind of my bugbear with it isn't that GPs are ever doing a bad job. They're actually doing the exact job that they're described to do.
They're told to do.
Yeah, they're told to do. And most of that appointment is spent looking at the baby, which of course, as parents, we would all kind of want. You want to know, you naturally, they, you know, leapfrog you. And we see that all the time with, you know, that with that appointment being dominated by the baby. And then there's very little that actually guides or steers or informs your decision. So actually it's not the problem with the appointment itself. It's a problem with the whole kind of way that new mums are put through the system. And then, as Zoe rightly said, you're not given anything. You're not handed anything. There's no follow-on information. Everybody knows that exercise is a good thing and they want you doing it, but they don't steer you. And that's part of the reason we created this free membership for the Royal College of GPs called CarryFit for All. And now we've got hundreds of GPs that signpost it. And it's basically, it's information. It's all the questions you'd want answers to from doctors, from physios, and it's some workouts to get you going. So it is a resource, as Zoe says, that you can steer people to. It's like a digital handout that you can leave the appointment with. So if you've got questions, you can get answers.
Oh, where were you 6 years ago, Vern, when we were wetting ourselves on the bloody treadmill and going, what's happening here?
I was in an empty room in Fulham with a fake baby strapped to me.
Well, you were wearing you on your own.
Just wandering around. You wouldn't have wanted to speak to me 6 years ago, I guarantee. I wouldn't have been on this then. So I think the problem's not with the appointment itself. The problem is with the relevance and significance that everyone attaches to it. And I think if we can bust that narrative that actually the 6-week check, it's a tick box. It's more about your baby. Really, you know, mums need better support, a range of tools to help them figure out where they integrate and how they integrate exercise back in to suit them and get back to the things they love doing, whatever that might be. And also then manage their own expectations, because, again, as Zoe said, you don't want to be getting injured. You've got a new baby to look after. Your world's been tipped on its head. It's stressful. We know it's a hot spot for mental health, for anxiety, for stress, for tiredness. We don't want to throw injury into that as well. So if we can take better appropriate care of you in those first 3 to 6 months, injury rates go right down. Pelvic health goes right up. You know, things like incontinence improve and pelvic floor function that can be exacerbated through poor choices are offset through good ones.
And the problem is, Vernon, you probably hear this a lot, is that once the incontinence starts, once the pelvic floor issues start, you know, it's very hard to then go, well, hang on a minute, this is not going to be a lifelong condition for me. You almost believe it is, you know,
and you because just accept it.
And because nobody, you know, nobody in the sort of immediate care system, unless you go and search for it, is saying to you, well, you know, actually you can get better and these are the exercises you need to do, you just live with it. I mean, it is so distressing to be trying to run on a treadmill or sneeze or jump and to be wetting yourself. It's horrendous. But how many women go through it? I mean, it's
many women just accept it and almost like kind of becomes a club, doesn't it? You know, like you all laugh and you think, oh, ha, 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 like, yeah, I wet myself. But actually, especially, you know, doing this podcast and speaking to, you know, women's physios and things like that, I sit there thinking, okay, but it really doesn't have to be like that. It really doesn't. And I really want to beat the drum to tell people that it doesn't. You don't just have to sit back and accept that as your life going forward.
I think that's absolutely right. And it's about getting in there early. It's about letting people know what's appropriate. And then you can reduce the ones that come through injury, through kind of particularly impact-based injuries that are reintroduced too soon. I know that... I don't know if you've ever had her on, but physio mum Emma Brockwell, they did a brilliant set of return to running guidelines, which basically really reinforces that you shouldn't be running until kind of 4 to 6 months postnatal. Mm. But as Zoe said again, you hear that I've had my 6 week check, I'm cleared to exercise. I'm getting out the door. I'm going for a run.
Exactly.
We did it together, George.
We'll be right back after this short break.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
So, you know this whole 6 week thing? Do you think, and I know insurance doesn't cover you, but do you think that some people can potentially return to exercise before 6 weeks?
Well, they can and they do. And this is one of the bits that is, I think, is going to be one of the most... kind of exciting and fundamental changes in lots of the provision that new mums will be able to access over the coming years, and something that we're building out ourselves as well with CarryFit, is we know that exercise for lots of people is a huge mental health win. It's massive. You want to feel like you're getting back moving, back connecting with your body. So what can you do immediately, and what does that look like for everybody, and what's that process? So we already know there's lots of core, floor, breath work, activation exercises that you can do days, days after giving birth. And physios, again, will kind of ratify that in terms of blood flow, restoration, they can be really useful tools. What we need everybody to do is actually kind of really buy into this idea that no two postnatal journeys are exactly the same. So here's all of the things that you want to do or can do. And then here's the speed at which you can move through them, depending on one becoming the next. So you start really basic. And what you can do then is really get people, and we've seen this a lot with CarryFit, and I've seen this a lot with my own personal training experience, is we often, people get to the end of that year of having kind of had a baby and being in that really intense postnatal phase, and they have a better understanding and better connection to their body than ever before, because it's the first time they've applied real process to taking care of themselves. So they understand the way their body works, reacts to stimulus, when's too much, when they can do a little bit more. They understand how their own exercise interplays with sleep and stress and anxiety. They know the days they can push, the days they need to rein it in. Yeah. So actually, if we can get people to kind of buy into this idea of just follow these steps, but follow them at your own speed, then yes, you can do things before the 6-week check. And for some people, that will be an absolute mental health godsend.
Yeah.
And for others, they won't want to do anything for months. Yeah. And that's cool too. It really doesn't matter.
So many people rely on exercise as a coping mechanism for all sorts of mental health issues.
Oh, yeah.
And I think,
And
so, and you know, like if you've had to stop maybe, I don't know, a few weeks before you've, you know, had the baby, so that could be a month, 6 weeks, however long it is for you, and then you've got to wait another 6 weeks after. For some people, 3 months of not exercising feels huge. And you know, we don't want to put pressure on people to exercise if you don't feel like it, but equally I think we really have to think about the impact that it can have on people's mental health if they don't exercise.
But I also think there it's about reframing what people consider exercise. So I think one of the best things about baby wearing, bar none, is putting your 1-2 week old in a carrier and going for a walk.
Yeah.
A proper walk where you're hands free. You might have a podcast in, you might have your favorite running soundtrack, but you're
out the
door.
Might have this podcast in.
Of course, why wouldn't you? But you are moving and you are starting to reintroduce movement, and you're getting that headspace, you're getting that fresh air. So I think often, particularly for new mums, it's managing expectations, because the other thing that can happen, and I've seen this a lot down the years, is something that can be this kind of joyous hour and a half of a day before children come along, where you go to the gym, you have a shower, maybe you have a steam afterwards, you grab a lovely coffee or a smoothie, and it's like this whole beautiful thing. Mm. And then afterwards, everything feels snatched. Everything feels like a trade-off, because you're trading time with your baby for time at the gym, or you're trading time with your baby for time out doing a run. So reframing exercise and what that might look like for people in those immediate months after, I think, and we've certainly seen, can unburden some of the pressures that people put on themselves.
Yeah.
And actually knowing that, you know, 3 or 4 times a week for just half an hour can have every bit as much mental health and physical health benefit, can allow you to do absolutely everything that maybe you used to dedicate 6 or 8 hours a week to.
Yeah,
and I think taking that pressure off around that kind of expectation of how long it needs to take to get the upside can really unburden people. And I don't know what your personal experience of that was. I'd love to hear them, of how much time you found you had afterwards versus before. But I bet it shifted.
Oh, my God,
do you know
what?
I think, like, Zara and I, we used to put Axel and Luna in the creche at the gym. And for us, I mean, I was more than happy to do that, and that's fine. But a lot of people that I speak to really don't, you know, the anxiety of leaving their baby with a stranger limits them, and they feel like they can't get back into exercise because they don't have any options.
Anywhere
and they don't know where to leave their, or who to leave the baby with. So I think something like, you know, what you're doing, CarryFit, and wearing the baby is incredible. It's fantastic because you know you get both, and almost it's like a bit of a baby class as well, right? Especially when they're like 6 weeks old, they're getting stimulation, they're seeing other babies, they're listening to music.
Well, it is. It actually advances their vestibular system development, their cognitive function, reinforces early speech and language development because they're looking at you guys interacting and chatting to each other. So there's some huge benefits for your baby. I think the thing for me with CarryFit is what we've always wanted it to be is another tool that people can access, exactly as you say, Georgie, when they might not want to use the creche or they might not have help at home.
Yeah.
Or they just want to do something on that day that they've got a Velcro baby that won't be put down.
Yeah.
And they just need to carry fit it to sleep.
I used to do everything with Luna on my chest, or, you know, not that I enjoy hoovering, but hoovering was a bit more fun because I'd be like, have her here, I'd have the tunes on in the background, you know, space closing party, whatever it was that was going on that I was missing out on. No, but it was like, I used to cook with her there. I used to do my makeup with her there. Like, I loved having her right, you know, really close to me. And I wish that, as I said, I wish we'd kind of had you around because it would have given us, you know, less peeing on the treadmill situations. So, but how do people sign up, Vern? Where do they go?
They can go to our Instagram or just carryfit.co.uk, live classes online, all that kind of stuff. Loads of free support. We do loads of work supporting around baby wearing. I think it's an amazing tool. I think people often misunderstand it or they think that they can't get comfortable in their carrier. There's kind of only five things you need to check in a carrier to get anybody comfortable with any size baby. It really is that simple. That's actually the biggest win we see in live classes is everybody gets their carrier checked. And we often joke, but you can change somebody's life in 30 seconds if you've got somebody that's trained in baby wearing to fit their carrier for them, because the kind of the backache, the feeling like it's dragging your shoulders down and round, we can alleviate all those things with just a few really simple kind of tips. So
amazing.
Yeah, carryfit.co.uk, check out the blog. CarryFit for All is our free membership. I never love pushing paid things on podcasts, but we have a completely free membership that has loads of, it even has age and stage baby fitting tutorials in there with our consultant, Hannah. So whatever you need, you can find it there.
Vern, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for answering the questions. And just keep doing what you're doing. We think you're amazing.
It's been a pleasure. Ben. Thanks very much, everybody.
Oh, that was a great episode. And it actually kind of makes me want to have another baby just so I can go to one of those baby wearing classes. I don't think I could get Axel or Gigi in a carrier anymore. I mean, maybe Gigi, actually. Maybe I'll give it a go and let you know how I get on. But if you have enjoyed this episode, then please do rate, review and subscribe. We love reading your
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders that we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Reviews, and they really do help get the Made by Mama's name out there and help other people find the podcast. And we will be back, both of us, on Tuesday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.